This is the Lindy's Football Report. The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
The college football playoff is set. Did you get what you wanted? Is your team in the right bowl game? The more important question, will your head coach be in attendance?
Well, I think the fans will be. Thank goodness all of these games will have full capacity stadiums. And I like that. That'll be fun. They might even rush the field and get fined for it. But coaches, who knows who they'll be. We've had a handful that come to mind right off the bat that are big-time jobs in the landscape of college football. When you talk about Notre Dame and Oklahoma and USC and LSU and Florida. And we may not be finished. There may be more, like you
said. I think you're probably right. We do welcome you to our special bowl edition of the Lindy's Football Report, where we count down to New Year's Day, the 8th edition of the college football playoff. Don't let the date catch you off guard. New Year's Eve in Dallas, Cotton Bowl. That'll be that afternoon, and then that night, the nightcap is in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. And we have some new participants, Don Pardo.
Should I do that voice?
If you can.
He's on Saturday Night Live. I liked him. Thank you. I won't do that. Last year's champ is back. That's the only common team in the playoff because we got a whole batch of new teams. And as a matter of fact, you know, Alabama did win it last year. They're back for their seventh time in eight seasons. It's only the second time for Georgia. You think of them as being a team always in contention, but they haven't been but just to one other. And Michigan has never been in the college football playoff field since it came out in 2014. And obviously, we got a group of five in Cincinnati. Amazing. First time ever for the group of five.
Yeah. And you can't say that the group of five have been left out ever again because Cincinnati has officially broken that glass ceiling and will face off against top-ranked Alabama as the only undefeated team left in FBS. The Bearcats will take on the Crimson Tide in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl on the afternoon of New Year's Eve. The obvious question, will the Bearcats be prepared emotionally for the challenge? Head coach Luke Fickell believes their date with Georgia last year's in the Peach Bowl was a good learning experience.
The experiences that you have in the past, you know, help you in the future, especially if you use them in the right way. And we have a majority of that entire team back. And I think it, first and foremost, you know, just even the venue, we don't probably see a lot of the venues like that last year. And we'll see another venue that, you know, obviously is will be an incredible opportunity for these guys and something that they haven't played in. I think so. We've at least have been there last year. And then I think obviously playing against a great football team like Georgia last year, which just gives us that much more of an idea of what it is that we're facing.
So the question goes back to how big a difference is playing in a playoff game versus not a very important bowl game for Cincinnati, but it was still not a playoff game.
Yeah, I think it's more about the opposition. And I can go back to last year as we will because we've talked about Georgia and Cincinnati and both played in that bowl game last year and playing in the playoff this year. These are two different teams now. That was a great game, and Cincinnati nearly won it. They didn't. But I looked at this year and this year's team, and they have been on a big stage. I think the win at Notre Dame is obviously that game. It was their biggest win in their history of the program. Went into South Bend and won the football game. But this would take the cake. I mean, if they went against Alabama to playoff in their first ever playoff versus the perennial power, then it is the biggest of all time. They are a huge underdog. But I think this team's good, and in a one-off game, you know, they've got a shot. 14-point dog, though, basically.
Absolutely. Well, is it possible to have a college football playoff without Alabama? Well, it did happen 2 years ago, and it almost happened again this season. Had it not been for the exceptional play of quarterback Bryce Young, who pulled the Crimson Tide out of the fire against Auburn and followed that up with a remarkable performance against previous number one Georgia in the SEC championship game. Barry Allen of Fox Sports says the national conversation surrounding the sophomore has been titillating.
Brock Hewitt and I have talked about Bryce Young a lot this year. And I asked him one day, I said, did you think he would be this good? And he goes, no. And I said, neither did I. Like, I said, in fact, going into the season, everybody's like, Bryce Young, Bryce Young. I go, he's not Mac Jones. He's not Tua. He's not Jalen. He hasn't done this. But I think, I honest to God, think you could hook Bryce Young up to a heart monitor, send it behind him in the backfield, and the thing would be flatlined the whole game long. The guy shows no fear. The guy shows no intimidation. You can look at his face on the sidelines, and you don't know if he's up 50 or down 50. He's the same dude every snap.
There has been some development, though, with Bryce Young over the season. I'll take you back to Texas A&M. They didn't make the big play to win that game late. He got him back into it. But this guy has just improved week after week after week, and now he's got him back in the playoff.
Yeah, he's the best player in college football, I think. I'd look at that game against Georgia, and this was the battle this year. Defense of Georgia, offense of Alabama. Has defense come back up? And it just goes to show, I think, that offense is still winning championships. I mean, look in the NFL. I want the guy that's got the best quarterback. I want Tom Brady. Bryce Young this year, yeah, I like your chances with him behind center.
The other newcomer to the playoffs, the Michigan Wolverines. Been on a hot streak since the loss to Michigan State. They ended a long losing streak to their arch nemesis, Ohio State, followed with a resounding win at the Big Ten Championship over Iowa. No doubt the Maize and Blue fans are ready for New Year's. That includes the voice of the Wolverines, Jim Brandstatter.
Michigan fans, they call them in Florida, they call them the Snowbirds. They come down usually in Christmas or, and they stay down there for 3 or 4 months and then come back north. Well, I think they're coming down maybe a little bit early, and they're all going to migrate toward Miami and Hard Rock. I know this for a fact. I called up our ticket guy the other day and asked him if he had any tickets. He said, we're sold out. Their allotment, 2 days after they announced where they were going to go, their allotment of tickets is gone.
You could pick any number of coaches for Coach of the Year. Maybe Jim Harbaugh should be, if not at the top of the list, pretty close.
I think he should, yeah, because he was basically done. They wanted him gone. He took a pay cut, basically half of salary, and I think he's donating his bonuses back to the program, at least to the university. Who would have picked them to win, finally, to beat Ohio State and win the Big Ten? So, yes, he's definitely a top candidate. And it's good to see this program back to where they were. It's been a while. This is the winningest program in college football history, Michigan.
Yeah. And one of the Blue Bloods would go right along with it.
And I think they're a lot like Georgia. I mean, the two teams playing, we talk about defense, right?
Yeah.
These two teams are built the same way on defense.
And speaking of the Bulldogs, they have a few days to regroup after that disappointment in Atlanta. They entered the SEC Championship game as the favorite, but left after another defeat to the Crimson Tide. But Kirby Smart says, do not fear and do not use the loss other than a wake-up call in preparation for the Wolverines.
They're a really good football team, okay? And the narrative out there was, well, they just went at Auburn and they really struggled. And some of the sacks they gave up, their tackle didn't even have a stance. You know, the crowd noise was a major impact there. But we knew the narrative coming in, these guys can throw the ball. And they got a really good quarterback. And they gave him an opportunity to make plays. And he made a lot of really good plays along with their wideouts.
I'm going to use an analogy straight from the state of Georgia, and that has to do with the Atlanta Braves, how they heard all they couldn't beat the Dodgers in the playoffs and they end up doing it. Can they use that same thought process here in going into the playoff and get to the Alabama game and possibly win it?
You've got to be careful to do that, to talk about, well, can they finally beat Alabama? They got to beat Michigan first. They got to get past that. That's the one thing about this playoff is you got all this prep time for the semi. And then there's a little bit of time, just almost like a regular season break, for the national championship. But you got to get to that first. So I don't think you can look past it if you're Michigan or Georgia. The same thing for Alabama and Cincinnati.
Well, a total of 84 teams made the postseason in 42 bowl games. But it's doubtful that none are more grateful than the Pac-12 champions. The Utah Utes are making their first trip in school history to Pasadena in the Rose Bowl. They will take with them the memory of fallen teammates Aaron Lowe and Ty Jordan, who passed away in the last year. The team overcame the tragedies and earned their first conference title since joining the league in 2011. Coach Kyle Whittingham believes the adversity brought this team together.
You know, we had a mantra, you know, we're gonna get through this. We'll never get over it, but we will get through it. And our guys, I can't say enough for our guys, and particularly the leaders, the captains, and the upperclassmen, of how they kept things together. And you know, the chemistry on this team just kept getting better and better as the year went on, and we became closer and closer. And it was tough. And as a coach, you know, there is no blueprint for an event like that. I mean, you don't have a protocol or a way to handle that. It's It's the most difficult thing I've ever been through as a football coach, hands down. I think maybe the biggest component to that, or the biggest factor, is Aaron Lowe, the young man who I mentioned died during the season this year. His mom came and talked to the team that Monday right after the incident. It was late Saturday night, and she said that, hey, she gave our team the blessing to carry on, and that's what Aaron would have wanted, and that's what she wanted. And so that was a real inspiration to our team to carry on and continue competing and fighting for a championship.
Utah will take on Ohio State in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. It's a sad story to begin with, but then it becomes an inspiration, and you kind of pull for Utah in a case like this.
Yeah, you do. It's one of those things that everybody rallies around each other. They put things in perspective. They played their best football down the stretch. They lost three games early in the year. Nobody gave them a chance. When I think of the granddaddy of them all, I don't think of Utah either. They're not a blue blood. They're not a old school Pac-12, Pac-10, go back in the day program. They are new to this conference. So this is a great event for them. The Rose Bowl is still one of the great bowl venues.
And one more thing. Introducing the first ever Group of Five participant in the college football playoff, the University of Cincinnati has one of the 10 oldest football programs in the country, originated in 1885. Their coaching alumni reads like a who's who. They've got current NFL coaches of Urban Meyer, John Harbaugh, Zach Taylor, Mike Tomlin, all coaching there as assistants. Mark D'Antonio, Butch Jones, Tommy Tuberville, and Brian Kelly have all been head coaches there. The program has won 16 conference titles. That's in six different leagues, including the one this season. The Bearcats will make their 21st appearance in a bowl, having won 10 previous games, two of those under Luke Fickell. As for facing Alabama, they've done it five times and have yet to earn a victory, the last meeting coming in 1990. Before this season, Cincinnati's biggest win in history, probably 1999, when they beat number 8 Wisconsin. Their first top 25 finish came in 2007 when they finished 17th. Their best finish, though, 2009, at number 3. Will they add to their history in the Cotton Bowl on New Year's Eve? Stay tuned. In honor of our final show of 2021, we give you the U.S. Farm Race Catfish Catch of the Year. How can we ever forget the win by the Kansas Jayhawks over the Texas Longhorns, ending their 56-game road losing streak in the Big 12? Let's relive the play as Jared Casey makes the grab from the pass of Jalen Daniels and a 2-point conversion for the win. Here's Brian Haney of the Jayhawk Radio Network.
Motion, Casey over. Daniels in the gun. He looks right. He's flushed out of the pocket to the right. Throwing on the run. It's caught. It's caught.
Casey.
And Kansas will win.
Holy cow.
Jared Casey with the play of his life. And the Jayhawks take down Texas.
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Race Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. LindySports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. Farm Raised Catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
College football season is here. And the best place to get great tailgate gear is Academy Sports and Outdoors. Swing by your local Academy store or shop online at academy.com, where you can find grills, canopies, portable chairs, and other fan faves for game day glory. Plus, get official team jerseys, shirts, hats, and more, all at prices you'll love. Academy Sports and Outdoors. Have fun out there.
The Lindy's Football Report.
Hail to the victors, all of them. Here's Michael Butler.
What if I told you that this year's Power 5 champs would be Alabama, Michigan, Baylor, Pitt, and Utah? It happened. Defending national champion and last year's SEC winner, Alabama, is the only one among the five to repeat as a conference champion. The four other conference titleists are newcomers. Pitt, 6-5 last year, won its first ACC crown, breaking Clemson's six-year streak. Baylor, 2-7 in 2020, hoisted its first Big 12 trophy, ending Oklahoma's six-year run at the top. It was also Utah's first Pac-12 title, and their win over Oregon, who had won the previous two. The Utes were 3-2 last season. Michigan, who went 2-4 last year, ended Ohio State's four-year streak in the Big Ten with its first league title since 2004. The Wolverines join Alabama on the playoff field, along with Georgia and Cincinnati, the first group of five to make the field of four since its inception in 2014. This will be Alabama's seventh CFP in eight seasons of the playoff. It's Georgia's second time around, and the first for Michigan and Cincinnati.
One more time, we talk to Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and LindySports.com. Well, Lynn, first of all, happy holidays. I know it's going to be a big next couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Graham, it seems like I was thinking last night, seems like it's just now time to get started on the football season, and we've gone through the entire season and are closing out another season of the Lindy's Football Report. That's hard to believe. Before we start talking about football, I do, from myself personally and from Lindy's, we want to thank the affiliates on our network. We want to thank our sponsors, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish and Academy Sports, the local sponsors in different areas, and, of course, our listening audience. I want to wish everybody a happy Christmas season, a great new year, and let's don't forget the real reason for having the Christmas season.
Absolutely. Now let's kind of put a cap on 2021. Where do you start?
That's a tough place to even consider. I made some notes just for a column I'm going to write in a couple of weeks. I'm going to hit it kind of as bullet points. I think one thing is the impact of the transfer portal. I think that can't be minimized. I think that the large number of coaching changes. I think the lack of a dominating team. I think most years, you know, we go in and say that there's one team that's been dominating. Georgia was until they lost to Alabama. Alabama had several other games that they could have lost. You haven't really had in Cincinnati being the only undefeated team, but that's, you know, in a group of five and would not be considered a dominating situation. So I think the lack of a dominating team, I think the group of five, the fact that that Cincinnati broke the glass ceiling, as they say, and made it. And I do feel like they earned the right to be there. So I think that's one. And then I think maybe the way this whole season played out, there was so much concern going into it because of what COVID did to the 2020 season, and COVID just had so little impact. You know, I know we had that one game postponed with California and Southern Cal. I don't remember if there was another one. And so I think that we got back to normal, that there was a lot of, you know, scare tactics and all on the front end of going into the games was going to be so bad. And I didn't notice anything that bad happening. I think everybody enjoyed having a regular season again. So this was a season with a whole lot of unusual aspects to talk about.
You talked about coaching jobs. Who do you think did the best coaching job first in the Southeastern Conference and then nationally?
In the SEC, I'd go with Sam Pittman at Arkansas. We had them picked to be last in the Western Division, as did most everybody. And they're going to the Outback Bowl to play Penn State after having a surprisingly good season. So I would go with Sam Pittman in the Southeastern Conference. Nationally, I'm going to go with Luke Fickell because Cincinnati, you know, they're the only undefeated team in the country. They got a shot in the playoffs, and there was a lot of pressure on them. You know, they were representing all of the group of fives and all of the independents and the teams that had been looking for an opportunity to get in there. So there's a lot of pressure on them, and they came through. So I would go with Luke Fickell at Cincinnati.
How about team-wise? Who was the biggest disappointment for you in the SEC and then nationally?
Florida in the SEC. Now, there was any question. You know, they had a veteran coach, not a new coach. They were picked high, not low. Lindy's being among those that picked Florida high. And they lost a lot of ball games, had a lot of issues on and off the field. So I think Florida would have to be the biggest disappointment in the SEC. Nationally, probably Texas. We kind of bit the bullet on Texas, too, and had them picked to be high. And Texas had a lot of bad losses, had a lot of losses, and really were disappointing. I've talked to a lot of Texas fans that feel that way. So I'd have to say they probably were the biggest disappointment based on where they were picked to be at the start of the season.
Well, for the last time, we're going to have you pick some games, and we'll also get you to pick your national champion. We'll start, and these are New Year's Eve and New Year's Day games. So we'll start first with the Rose Bowl, Ohio State playing Utah.
I like Ohio State. I think they're a better team. The only thing that would concern me there, Ohio State is disappointed to be going to the Rose Bowl. They wanted to be in the college football playoff. Utah is excited. They win the conference championship. First time, I believe, they've been in the Rose Bowl. So there's a real factor there. I like Ohio State in the game, but that could be a factor that goes in the favor of Utah.
Interesting matchup in the Gator Bowl with Texas A&M playing Wake Forest.
Yeah, Wake Forest, they tailed off at the end after having such a great start. I think based on the strength of the Southeastern Conference as opposed to the strength of the Atlantic Coast Conference this year, I'd have to go with Texas A&M in that game.
All right, a Big Ten SEC matchup in the Citrus Bowl, Iowa and Kentucky.
And we'll take Kentucky for exactly the same reason. Iowa tailed off at the end of the year, really got it handed to them by Michigan in the championship game. Again, based on SEC strength, I'm going to go with Kentucky.
They're excited in the Magnolia State because Ole Miss is back in the Sugar Bowl, this time against Baylor.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Baylor. It will not surprise me at all if Ole Miss wins that ball game. Ole Miss only lost to Alabama and Auburn. That's a strong season. But I like Baylor defensively more than I like Ole Miss on defense. And Baylor's on the roll here having knocked off Oklahoma State in that championship game. Wouldn't surprise me with an Ole Miss win, but I'll lean toward Baylor.
And let's talk about the semifinal games. First, the Orange Bowl, Georgia and Michigan.
And that's another one that wouldn't surprise me either way. I'm going to lean toward Georgia. Again, based on defense, that's not based on the defense in the Alabama game. It's based on the defense in their other ball games. Michigan has had a way to lose ball games that they have had a real good chance to win over recent years. But this could be Michigan's chance to break through and get to the championship. But I'm going to lean toward Georgia.
And then the other semis in the Cotton Bowl, Alabama and undefeated Cincinnati.
Well, I'm going with Alabama, and it's basically for the same reason I went with Texas A&M and Kentucky, the strength of the Southeastern Conference and who they've played. But don't overlook Cincinnati. This could be a better game than people think. I know it's a couple of touchdown margin, but if you remember, the last game last year was in Atlanta in the bowl game, 24-21, Georgia barely edged out Cincinnati, and that was a precursor for Georgia being the strongest team throughout most of the season this year. So don't be surprised with a good Cincinnati ball game, but I'm going to lean toward Alabama.
So that gives us a rematch of Georgia and Alabama in the national championship. Who do you like?
I like Alabama. Again, even from the start of the season, I always go with the idea that a defending national champion, when given the chance to defend it, should be given the nod. And in this case, I'll do the same thing. It would not surprise me to see Georgia win. You had that same situation 4 years ago when Auburn beat Georgia real soundly in the regular season, and then they rematched at the SEC championship game. Well, this is, again, the situation. Alabama beat Georgia pretty handily, but Georgia could beat them in the rematch. However, I'll go with Alabama.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.